The scientific method behind choosing the Oscars for science and technology. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Over the weekend, the Oscars for Geeks took place in Beverly Hills, California, otherwise known as the Academy Awards, given out for scientific and technical achievements. Awards went to technologies like a security system that lets people working on movies share what's been filmed every day without it getting stolen or leaked along the way. Of course, there were also awards for motion graphics, 3D modeling, all the things that create incredible visual worlds in the movies. But the process of evaluating these technologies is what I think is really interesting. Doug Robel is a visual effects artist and chair of the committee that chooses the winners. He says a whole lot of research goes into every choice.
We actually ask people who have created technology to submit their technology to the Academy and say, hey, we think that our technology is worthy of the Academy looking at it. And then this committee gets together and sort of says, all right, you think your stuff is pretty good. Let's confirm that. And so we dive deep. We interview all the people who created the technology. We interview all the users of the technology, and we look at its impact on film.
Give us an example of a winner this year, a technical achievement that has been awarded that we might see in a lot of movies, but never even know it's there.
So now remember, the one other thing that we do here is we award stuff that has had a track record at movies. We don't award stuff that's just coming onto the market. We want to make sure that the technology that we award has changed how movies are done. We're giving an award to a group of researchers who created the Medusa Performance Capture System. And you're going, what's the Medusa Performance Capture System? Well, this is a system where an actor can sit in front of an array of cameras and then move their face, perform, you know, do a scene. And this system will record not only the images of that actor, but it will create a 3D piece of geometry that is extraordinarily detailed and moves in the way that the actor does. And this is exactly what we want to do if we want to understand how an actor's face moves, if we want to take the performance of an actor and put it onto another creature or even a digital double of that actor.
Hmm. Is there ever like a NASA-style tech transfer, you know, where some technology might be developed for the craft of movie making but then have applications in other industries?
Oh, just think about Photoshop. We're giving Photoshop an award this year. Photoshop was developed way back in the early 90s specifically for movies. But then it basically changed the way people edited and dealt with digital images across the world. And Photoshop is ubiquitous, right? It's used in print. It's used in advertising. It's used anywhere you want to change an image. And it all started out in the movies.
How did you, Doug, get into this? Like, how did you get into this job? It sounds fantastic.
Well, I've been working on this for quite some time. So back in the 1970s, I was exactly 14 years old when I saw Star Wars. And then, you know, that perfect age of seeing a movie like that. And my father was involved in science. So I said, I want to work on that, but I want to do it from a science aspect. And so I, you know, went to school, got a PhD, and then got my first job after school at this new company called Digital Domain that was just forming. I was one of the very first employees hired here. And then I just stayed here. I love it so much. Working in technology in film is this unique mix of really, really amazing technology and unbelievable artistic creativity. There's this feedback loop that you get from developing a piece of technology and then putting it in the hands of the artists and then seeing what they do with the technology that you created and then turning to you and saying, hey, that was cool. Could you do this? And then you say, yes, I think I have the mathematics to do that. And then this loop is just addictive.
Doug Robel is a visual effects artist and chair of the Scientific and Technical Awards Committee for the Academy Awards. Fun fact, Photoshop was developed at Industrial Light and Magic, the special effects division of Lucasfilm that was founded just for Star Wars. And now for some related links. Speaking of movies and technology, I don't know if any of you watched Steven Soderbergh's Netflix movie, High Flying Bird, this weekend. It landed, so to speak, on Friday. It is the filmmaker's second film that was shot only on an iPhone, in this case, an iPhone 8. Last year, he put out a movie called Unsane, which he shot in 2 weeks on an iPhone 7. And The Ringer has a good story about how Soderbergh, at least, sees no reason why all his future movies shouldn't be shot completely on smartphones. That's even though, technically speaking, smartphone movies still look like smartphone movies because of things like a lack of depth of field, basically almost everything in the frame is in focus, or, say, a bunch of camera jitter. But considering how many people watch movies on phones or mobile devices, it's possible that if you watched a smartphone movie on your smartphone, you wouldn't even know the difference. It's like a little recursive movie-making circle of life. One thing to note is that even though using smartphones to make a movie does make the movie cheaper, it's still not like everyday cheap. High Flying Bird still costs $2 million to make. You can find that Ringer story and other links related to today's show on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Molly Wood. Happy Monday, everyone. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.